Welcome to the deep dive. We heard you loud and clear. You wanted a closer look at how innovation actually, well, happens, how change moves through the world.
Yeah, and specifically, how things like information and communication technology, ICT, have really shaken up the old rules.
Exactly. We're talking about that classic model, the S-curve, you know, that blueprint for how technologies get adopted.
That's our focus today. We're breaking down that S-curve and showing you why, especially now in the 21st century, it looks, well, fundamentally different. It's
yes.
Like it's been pulled taut, straightened out, and made much more volatile.
Right. So for anyone maybe not familiar, the classic S-curve maps out this typical journey. Starts slow, only a few innovators jump in.
The early adopters.
Then, boom, suddenly there's this steep climb, mass acceptance, everyone gets on board.
And then, finally, it levels off. It plateaus. Either because, you know, everyone who wants one has one market saturation, or the tech itself just hits a limit.
It's a really foundational idea for understanding tech history. But the sources we looked at, particularly Gary Ackerman's work, point out something crucial. The curve for today's ICT, it's not just faster, it's different in like two big ways structurally.
That's the core insight. It's changed fundamentally.
So let's unpack that. First, this idea that the curve is straightening out.
Yeah, accelerating.
And second, how we get from one curve to the next, that moment of innovation, it's become way more disruptive than it used to be.
Understanding those two forces, acceleration and disruption, is, oh, it's pretty critical if you're trying to navigate or plan for pretty much anything today.
Okay, let's tackle that acceleration first, the straightening S-curve.
Right. So what we mean by straightening is really a massive compression of the whole cycle.
The time it takes.
Exactly. The time it takes for a technology to go from being this obscure thing only a few people know about to being everywhere.
Yeah.
Almost ubiquitous. That time frame has just collapsed.
Yeah, I was looking at the historical data in the sources. It really throws the speed difference into sharp relief, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It shows it's not just a gradual speed up, it's like a genuine break, a discontinuity.
So give us some examples.
Okay, think about reaching, say, 50 million users. The sources mention radio took several decades to hit that number globally. Decades.
Wow. All that infrastructure, the physical sets.
Precisely. Lots of physical stuff needed. Then television comes along.
A bit faster.
Much faster, relatively speaking, down to just a few years. Infrastructure was getting better. Mass production was kicking in.
Okay. Still years, though.
Still years. But then
yeah.
You jump into the digital age. ICT. Think about platforms like YouTube.
How long for them?
Months. Mere months to hit 50 million users.
Decades to months.
That's the straightening curve in action. It's less of a gentle S shape and more like like a vertical takeoff followed by a sudden flat top.
That difference is just huge. But why? Why is ICT so different from radio or TV? It's not just that we suddenly got better at adopting things, is it?
No, no, absolutely not. The fundamental difference is economic and infrastructural. Those classic S-curves, they were held back by physical stuff.
Constraints.
Physical constraints, yeah.
Yeah.
And marginal costs. For radio, like you said, you needed transmitters, licenses, factories making radios, shops selling them. Every single new listener costs something significant to add.
Right, a physical investment for each new user.
But with digital stuff, software, apps, online platforms, it's a whole different ballgame.
How so?
Well, once you've built the basic platform, the cost to add one more user or 10 million more users.
It's tiny.
It's virtually zero. Plus, you have the power of network effects.
Ah, where it gets more valuable the more people use it.
Exactly. That creates this viral loop, this acceleration that physical goods just couldn't achieve in the same way. The network's already there, the internet. Adoption could be almost instant, global. That's what pulls that curve upright.
Okay, so that shift from physical friction slowing things down to this almost frictionless digital spread, that must completely change how organizations plan for the future.
Oh, totally. It turns planning on its head. Think back to the 20th century. Those broad, slow S-curves meant you had time.
You could see a trend coming.
Yeah, you could spot a new technology, watch it for a bit, maybe form a committee. You had, I don't know, 5-10 years sometimes to adjust your strategy, retrain people, change how you do things. Slowly.
That sounds nice, actually. A bit leisurely.
It was a luxury looking back, but the sources are clear. 21st century planning happens under these straight S-curves. Things move so fast
that by the time you're sure it's a real trend,
you're already halfway up the curve, maybe more. And the next thing is already starting its climb. Planning becomes less about catching one wave and more about Well, continuous reinvention.
Continuous reinvention. That sounds exhausting. How can any organization, like a school system or a business, commit resources if they know the whole setup might be obsolete in, say, 18 months? Does it just lead to paralysis?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the core challenge. The old way, wait and see, then make a big, long-term plan that just doesn't work anymore.
So what's the alternative?
Agility. Modularity. You're not planning for the peak of this curve anymore. You have to be constantly scanning the horizon, looking for the start of the next one. It's like juggling. You might have two or three cycles going at once in different stages.
So less about perfecting the current system, more about adapting constantly.
Exactly. The mindset shifts from optimization to adaptation.
Okay, that constant hunt for the next curve, that leads us right into the second big trend you mentioned.
Right. Innovation by replacement. It's not just about speed. It's about how the new replaces the old.
How does that work?
Well, innovation often happens when one S-curve basically pushes another one out, replaces it. And that moment of replacement, that shift, often forces a complete rethink of whatever the technology was doing.
And why does a curve plateau in the first place? You mentioned saturation.
Saturation is one reason. Mm. But often, as the sources point out, it's because the technology or the practice hits some kind of wall, a physical limit maybe, or it just stops being as effective within its existing setup.
So if we still need the function like calculation or communication, something new has to come along.
Exactly. Something that does the same job, but smashes through that old limit.
And the sources say there are different ways this replacement happens. Smooth versus not so smooth.
Yeah, basically two flavors. Smooth and disruptive. Let's look at the smooth kind first. This often happens with like core hardware technology.
Okay. The sources use the evolution of computers as an example here, right? Case one, smooth transition.
Perfect example. Think about what powers computers. We went from these big, hot, clunky vacuum tubes.
Right. Room-sized computers.
To much smaller, more efficient transistors. And then later, another leap to integrated silicon circuits, microchips.
Those sound like massive changes technologically. Why were they smooth?
Because, from the perspective of the designers and the users, these changes were largely welcomed. They were seen as upgrades.
Even though the underlying tech was totally different.
Yeah, because the function didn't radically change, and the change was mainly additive. The computer still did computation, right? The new tech just let it do it vastly faster, smaller, cheaper, using less power.
So the people building and using the computers didn't have to fundamentally rethink what a computer was or what it did.
Pretty much. They just got a massively better engine. The limits being hit were physical heat, size, speed of electrons. The new tech solved those physical problems. It increased capacity within the existing idea of computing.
Okay, the structure stayed intact, just the components got better. Makes sense.
It was a capacity-increasing transition, welcomed by the people involved.
But, and there's always a but, the story changes when the innovation isn't just swapping out hardware bits, when it hits people systems.
Exactly. That takes us to case two, disruptive transitions. This is where it gets messy.
What makes it disruptive?
It's especially true when the innovation happens in what we might call social technologies.
Uh-huh.
Things like education or journalism or governance. Mm. The systems and habits and institutions we build.
There was that mention of the book Disrupting Class, Out Education.
Right. That work highlights this distinction really well. Why is introducing, say, a new type of software for learning often so much more disruptive than introducing a new microchip?
Because the microchip doesn't have feelings or a union.
Well, kind of. Hardware doesn't have entrenched cultural norms or established job roles or decades of bureaucratic procedure built around it.
But social systems do.
Absolutely. Take that education example. If a new model emerges, maybe highly personalized adaptive learning software, it isn't just a new tool teachers can choose to use.
It challenges the whole system.
Potentially, yes. It might challenge the teacher's traditional role. The need for standard classroom hours, the way schools are administered, even the idea of a centralized curriculum.
So the technology might promise the same outcome, learning, education, but getting there requires changing how people work, their status, the established routines.
The power structures, the budgets, all of it. And that creates resistance, friction. It's disruptive because the limit isn't just physical. It's the existing social structure that's hitting its limit of effectiveness or adaptability.
Got it. Can you give another example, maybe outside education?
Sure. Think about traditional news media, newspapers, network television news. That was a huge social technology, right?
Definitely. The newsroom structure, the printing presses, the delivery trucks.
Exactly. That whole S-curve relied on things like geographic monopolies, physical distribution, advertisers paying for print space. Their limit wasn't running out of paper.
It was the effectiveness of that entire model once the internet arrived.
Precisely. The newspaper's social structure, the reporter's role, the editor's power, the ad sales team, the reliance on a daily print cycle hit its effectiveness limit when ICT offered zero marginal cost distribution, instant updates, global reach.
And a totally different advertising model.
Right. The new S-curve, digital news, offered the same basic function information, but required essentially dismantling the old organization. Jobs disappeared, roles changed, the relationship with the audience was redefined. That's disruption.
Okay, that really clarifies the two forces. We've got these hyper-fast, straight adoption curves.
Meaning we have very little time to react.
And the innovations that replace old ways, especially in human systems, are often deeply disruptive, forcing fundamental change.
It makes planning incredibly complex. You're dealing with speed and structural upheaval simultaneously.
That idea of continuous reinvention seems key, then. It's not just about adopting new tools.
No, it's often about reinventing the whole structure around the tools. And doing it fast, the question shifts from how do we build this system to last 20 years,
sure,
to how fast can we build, deploy, and then maybe even dismantle a system that might only be the best option for 20 months.
Wow. So the old S-curve was this graceful, predictable arc, gave stability.
Yeah, allowed for maturity.
But the modern ICT-driven curve is more like sharp, rapid steps up, where each step requires rebuilding the landing you just left.
That's a good way to put it. And the pace seems to be accelerating still. Coping with that speed and that depth of change, that's really the defining challenge for organizations, for leaders, for all of us, really.
A powerful summary. So for you listening, as you think about all this, here's something to chew on after this deep dive.
Yeah, take this back to your world.
Think about the shift from those slow, broad curves to these fast, straight, often disruptive ones. Now look at your industry, your field. What long-established social technology, maybe it's a bureaucratic process, a traditional workflow, a regulatory system, anything based on human habits and structures, what system do you see hitting its limits, its effectiveness cap?
And then ask yourself, what kind of disruptive replacement, maybe something already quietly gaining traction on its own fast S-curve, might be poised to challenge or even shatter it?
Something to keep an eye out for, especially the next time you run into a process that feels way too rigid for today's world.